Yes, Proverbs 8, 1 through 21. Join with me in your pew Bibles, your own Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. O simple ones, learn prudence, acquire intelligence. You will lack it, you who lack it. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to one who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, live with prudence, and I attain knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have good advice and sound wisdom. I have insight, I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, rulers rule and nobles, all who govern rightly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, endowing with wealth those who will love me, and filling their treasuries." The word of the Lord, my friends.
Before their light, the
that was your, you're on him. An early Canadian hymn written to bring the gospel to the Huron Indians. So Gabrielle's drawing on her Canadian roots. Flipping over to Matthew's gospel, I am over in chapter 25, the first 13 verses. Again, receive the word of God. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" I am not as excited about Christmas as I used to be. No amount of Christmas decorating, song singing, foods eating, show watching, lights beholding, or gifts wrapping will get me to that place where I was when I was a young person. Or even as the father of young children. Am I alone? Am I alone in that feeling? I mean, is anybody as excited as I used to be? I'm guessing, is that something that just happens with age, or am I succumbing to grinchiness somewhere deep in the recesses of my heart? Oh my goodness. My guess is, though, that that's perfectly normal. I'm hoping. I am not a little person anymore, and I no longer have little persons at home. My guess is that if grandchildren do show up one day, some extra joy might come with it at Christmas time, with that new anticipation of that newness. It is a lot of fun to see little ones behold that Christmas excitement, especially for the first time. But my issue is bigger than just Christmas. In fact, it might even be hard to get excited about anything in the way that I used to, before the cares of the world began piling up more and more. Events cost money, and trips cost money, and holidays cost money, and special occasions cost money. And that doesn't even take into account the time and trouble. Am I preaching to myself? Or can anyone else relate to any of these feelings? So much of the world is demanding. And to top it all off, I may be looking at a wedding or two in the coming years. Oh, what should be the happiest of occasions in our lives is also something as, what was it? Oh yeah, cost money. I just conducted a wedding up in King William County, at a special wedding venue that was probably the nicest tent I had ever seen. Now, I say tent, but it actually had a grand wooden ceiling and a chandelier and an attached kitchen and a very nice bathroom. And it only cost $8,000 to rent, if I heard correctly. Oh, but I do get the preacher free. Just in case, that wasn't obvious. Oh, if we could only go back to ancient times, right? When weddings were so much simpler. Yes, I'm being a bit facetious. Weddings back in the days of Jesus were a whole different kind of event, and though they were not simple. A wedding celebration was likely the high point of someone's life and a very big deal. Oh, when the wedding time drew near, there were bridesmaids who waited with the bride to march with her in celebration back to the groom's house whenever he arrived to gather her. That's when the party really began, with a week's worth of fun and community festivities. It was not uncommon to have the bridegroom show up at night. He made a point to take the long route from his house to the bride's house, and all along the way, this pronouncement, the coming, and all of this is the bride or the bridegroom, and people would come out and, you know, congratulate, and of course, you know, he would get delayed with all of that ceremony. And so it was also a thing to surprise the bride. Oh my goodness, it is a shame we lost some of this. Imagine surprise weddings. They had to be ready to go whenever he arrived, day or night. All of that fed into the excitement. Once they returned to his house, the door could very well be locked after the guests arrived. And this was the idea. If they cared enough about that couple and the new marriage, then they would have been ready to rejoice with them. If people valued this new married life, they would have been ready to receive it. The groom had no interest in people just stopping by to mooch. Things weren't cheap back then either. The wedding was for the excited. The wedding was for the prepared. The wedding was for the wise. But that's weddings. You know, right? Here we are at Christmas, Christmas Eve, and that time of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and shepherds and angels and maybe magi. After all, that's what everyone's come here to hear about, right? Maybe I'm not quite as excited about Christmas as I used to be, but you know what? Christmas is still excellent and still pretty exciting. It's different now, though. Because our family is different. Compared to my youth, of course, I don't care nearly as much about stuff as I do spending good time with loved ones. Christmas is also hard because it's tainted by losses and history and heartache. Barbara Smith and her family will always feel the loss of Carolyn right here at Christmas. We all will. And she's not the only one. Just over a year ago, we lost David Farmer and Louise McKissick. Of course, we cannot begrudge either of them, any of them, for the joy and glory that they now know. But the loss is still real. We truly feel sorry for ourselves for missing our loved ones. So Christmas is not always easy. But hopefully there's still plenty in there that we can look forward to. Hopefully there's still something out there for us to get excited about. We do have love to spare. We have love to share. And we have love to grow right here. That is always a message for Christmas. Love is something that Jesus also tends to consider. This idea, this area of Matthew, he does a lot of wedding conversation. He talks about marriages and weddings because life is about relationships. God is about relationships. The Bible begins and ends with a wedding. Jesus here shows us how wisdom works in a wedding as people wait for love. Everyone back then would understand how exciting it would be to wait for the wedding, to wait for the groom, to wait for the wonder and beauty of love to change lives. But would they wait? Could they wait in wisdom? Oh, no one likes to wait. But the excitement was worth the wait. Yes, the excitement was worth the wait. And there it is. The wise know how to wait for what is good, for what is right, and what is loving. The foolish do not. The wise know that you don't jump on the first train that comes by. It may or may not be the right one. Be watchful. Be ready. The foolish grab whatever comes. I know people who married the first person they met who was willing to marry them because they were afraid that they might not have another chance. Maybe it worked, maybe it didn't. Either way, doesn't sound very wise. Imagine for a moment that you are up to take your final exam in school. The exam is 100% of your final grade, and the class is one that you have to pass in order to graduate. The problem is you don't know what day the exam will be. You study hard, you're ready to go, but the test doesn't come. It doesn't come. After a while, do you keep studying? After a while, maybe years, do you forget about the test at all? That is Christ Jesus for so many of us. He promised to return. They expected it a long time ago. And we still live in that promise of his return today to set all things straight. But that promise for so many has grown old and stale. It's too hard to stay excited for Christ the King. So instead, we manufacture excitement about Christ the baby. Is anyone really, really excited about a birth that happened 2,000 years ago? How wise is it to prepare for something that happened once long ago in the past? Jesus has to mean more than a plastic, ceramic, or wooden figure. He has to mean more than a live nativity or a made-for-TV movie. Absolutely, we should all be excited that he did come. But there's nothing wrong with those things, but there's so much more going on today. One of the most foolish things that followers of Jesus can do is to forget our excitement in meeting Jesus.
Here's what I found.
Christians are not backward looking. We really aren't. We're not backward looking. We are all forward looking. Every day is another day to experience the living presence of our living God. Every day is another day to discover Jesus in new ways in our lives. Every day is another day to find the Spirit of God at work around us. Some people are content to just wait around for the Spirit until the Spirit shakes us awake. Some people are just like that. Others are prepared to wait and watch. Others are wiser and look for signs of the joy of God. Others are ready to receive the blessing of God when it comes. The best of us are watching for God's grace. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to assert that if you are not looking forward to God doing something really good in your life,
then your idea of God is way too small. You might not even really know God if you accept the world as it is, without God's healing, redeeming, reconciling, changing power. If the best notion for excitement in God that you can muster is a baby born in a manger, then you are living in the past. As human beings, we need something to look forward to. And it's too easy to replace God's transforming presence for Christmas things. We need something to get excited for. So we count on what is easy, what is familiar, what we know is coming, the Christmas usuals. They end up being on the top of the list. The usuals, however, are powerless to change the world for God's good. Even in that marvelous World War I story, Christmas 1914, when the Germans and the English stopped fighting at Christmas, it was anything but the old usuals. The Germans were decorating their trenches for Christmas right there in the war, as things had ground to a halt. They were singing Christmas carols. The English heard them, and they began singing Christmas carols. Before long, they were meeting. They were exchanging presents. They actually exchanged prisoners. They honored the dead. And just spending time as God's children rather than as enemy armies. This happened along the battlefront. No one ordered it. It was the Spirit of Christ. It gave them a new sense of what the coming of Christ could mean if we welcome him today. Jesus is not done with us. He is still coming. Our Lord and Savior, the Messiah of the world, is still coming anytime, even if we do not live long enough to see that glorious day with these eyes. The Spirit of our Lord is still at work, getting things ready, paving the road for God's glory. This is happening today, and if we can see it, we're watching in faith. It is the wise thing to do, friends. It is the loving thing to do, and it is good to get excited again. To God be the glory. Amen.